In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with you as we enter into what is called the Easter Triduum. Easter Triduum begins today on what is called Holy Thursday. Easter Triduum is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and it culminates in the celebration of the Solemnity of All Solemnities, which is the Easter Vigil Mass, entering into the Easter Day and the Easter season. So welcome you all to our family, and love to have you. It's good always to be welcoming new members into our family. And we thank God for the spiritual exercise we had in St. Therese, as well as St. John the Baptist and St. Peter Chanel. We'll be praying for all of you in our Mass tonight. But we begin our conversation always by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So let's lift our prayers and our thoughts to Mary as we say the prayer that she loves most, and it's the Hail Mary. So together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. What a great privilege it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. Like Mary, the Holy Spirit also has many different titles, which illustrate and point out his powerful action on the world, on the church, and on individual souls like ourselves. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is known as the Sanctifier, He who makes us holy. He's also known in the sequence of the Holy Spirit, of Pentecost rather, he's known also as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our Interior Master. Interior Master. St. Paul reminds us of the importance of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life, and he says in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light and the interior fire of love, that the interior fire of love would burn ardently in the very depths of our souls, as we say the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's holy angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. How true the saying, the family that prays together stays together. So, we welcome you to our Perseverance online family, and it's great to be with you. We meet every morning live on Facebook and then on YouTube at 7:30 Pacific time. Then at 9 o'clock, I give another talk, and that is in Spanish at 9 o'clock. So we have our family conversation 24/7, 7:30 in English, and then at 9 o'clock, we'll go into the Spanish language. So, my friends, our custom is we start by praying together, and then what I do is I take your intentions and I place you on the altar. So this evening, we don't have any Mass during the day, but we only have the evening Mass because today is Holy Thursday. So in our parish, I'll be with the other priests at 5:30 p.m. celebrating the Mass of the Last Supper with the washing of the feet. Then the transfer of the Blessed Sacrament from the big church to the smaller church. And what I like to do, and this is my custom, is I like to pray for all of you. In a special way, I like to pray for you by placing you on the altar. That's right, placing you on the altar in the Mass. There's no greater prayer in the world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and that's what we'll be talking about today in our conversation. And it's the following. I will be placing you and your intentions on the altar, and I usually offer like three intentions, but you can place as many as you want. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would live out this Holy Week with great generosity, with great openness to God's grace. St. Ignatius will say with great magnanimity. Magnanimity, magna anima, means a big soul, a generous soul. My second intention will be, I'd like to pray for your family members, your children, your adolescents, your young adults. I'd like to pray especially that your family members that have maybe walked away from the church, I'd like to pray that they would come back during these holy days, that they would reconcile themselves with God, that they would trust in His infinite mercy, that they would have no fear to approach the sacrament of God's mercy or reconciliation, which we call confession. So I'd like to offer that special intention for all of you, especially for maybe you have a brother, a young adult, son or daughter that has become, for some reason, angry at God, angry at the church, has become bitter, and has walked away from God. So let's pray that they come back. I'd like to place them on the altar. And my last intention, let's pray for world peace. The world, there's so much tension, especially there in the Ukraine, that there would be world peace. True what Father Patrick Peyton says, the family that prays together stays together. But Father Patrick Peyton also says this. He says, a world at prayer is a world at peace. A world at prayer, my friends, is a world at peace. So let's lift our hearts and our souls and our prayers that there would be world peace. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, as the old song goes. Peace. And that word that Jesus greeted the apostles with, shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew Aramaic word, and it actually means, it means peace be with you. So today is Holy Thursday, and we're going to be speaking about, focusing a lot upon this picture that I showed you yesterday. You can see that this is a portrait, a picture of the Last Supper. The Last Supper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my friends, today is Holy Thursday. And there's really so much that can be said about this wonderful feast day. So this wonderful feast day in the first day of the Triduum. The Triduum meaning three: Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. So let's talk about Holy Thursday. I'd like to tell you what happened and what is the meaning of what happened 2,000 years ago. How does it influence us? I'd like to invite all of you to enter into a contemplation as we explain with simplicity, but also in detail, what happened these 2,000 years ago with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the very center. To understand the Last Supper, which is actually the first Mass, to understand this, it's incumbent upon us to understand the first Passover of the Jewish people. First Passover of the Jewish people, where they were in slavery in Egypt for many years. And God called Moses to free them from the slavery of the Egyptians. How would this come about? Well, our Lord told Moses to take the lamb and to slaughter the lamb and to take the blood of the lamb and to paint the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And all the Israelites would do the same. And to eat the roasted flesh of the lamb. And if that were done, then the angel of death would pass over their families, but not that of the Egyptians. So it happened, the angel of death descended and slaughtered the firstborn of the Egyptians, whereas those Israelites, their children were freed, were saved, because of the blood of the lamb. Then Moses led the people out of Egypt into the desert. The Pharaoh repented of letting them go, sent his soldiers and the chariots and charioteers to pursue them. They are along the coast of the Red Sea, and God told Moses to lift up his hand. So Moses lifted up his hand. And by doing that, the Red Sea was parted into, as if it were two walls, and the Israelites were able to walk on dry land between the two walls of water. And as the Egyptians followed them, God cast a glance on them. The wheels of their chariots clogged in the sand, and the water subsided, and by drowning all the chariots, charioteers, and their horses, all were drowned. So that's the context of the Passover meal. So, Jesus, what does he do? He sends two of his disciples, which were probably Peter and John, to prepare the Passover meal. That's right. So they go to this room, it's called the cenacle, an upper room, well furnished. And Peter and John prepare the Passover meal, which means they prepare the table with unleavened bread, bitter herbs, wine, glasses, the lamb that would be roasted. In other words, a real festive environment. So the meal is prepared. This would be the typical Passover meal, and Jesus in that context would give us the new Passover meal. So there, at the Last Supper, Jesus comes with the 12 apostles. The gestures that Jesus carries out are many. The first, in the context of this Passover meal that we'll comment upon, would be, this you can read in John chapter 13. It's called the washing of the feet. Now, if you've ever been at a Holy Thursday celebration, you've probably seen this, which the priests celebrate. Usually the pastor washes the feet of 12. And then after he washes the feet, he dries their feet with a towel. That's the beautiful gesture that Jesus carried out 2,000 years ago. Let's talk a little bit about that. Now for us, living in the 21st century in the United States, or you're maybe from Mexico or from the Philippines, or this is not, the washing of someone's feet is not in our custom. Not in our custom. But 2,000 years ago, where Jesus lived, the most extended social group when Jesus lived would be the slaves. That's right. That was the most extended, most numerous group of people would be slaves. So noble families would have usually a slave or many slaves, several slaves. The word slave in Greek would be duro, and it means would do hard things and dirty things. So one of the chief services that a slave would render to his master would be, once The master would receive guests into his home. The sandals would be taken off. Then the servant would pour water on the feet of the guest or guests, thereby cleaning the feet of the dust because they didn't have asphalt, paved streets, or sidewalks the way we have in our country. Then with a towel, the feet would be dried. So there you have it. That was part of the social custom among the slaves. So Jesus arrives on the scene, and he does the same thing for his 12 apostles. He gets down on his knees, and with a basin of water, he pours the water on the feet of the apostles. He arrives at Peter. And Peter, always very spontaneous, with a good heart, but very impetuous, says, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Jesus says to Peter, "If I don't wash your feet, then you will have no part with me." Peter says, "Wash not only my feet, my hands, and my head as well." Then Jesus says, "If you're washed, you're cleaned." According to some of the mystics, I think it was Anne Catherine Emmerich, she says that Jesus actually kissed the feet of Judas. Because Jesus was aware that Judas had already in his mind the betrayal. So Jesus was going to be bending over backwards, so to speak, to save Judas, so they wouldn't carry out this dastardly deed of the betrayal. Now, after Jesus finishes the washing of the feet, and he says to them, "You call me master, and it's true. The servant is not greater than the master. What I have done, you should also do." So let's try to flesh out the symbolism of this gesture of Jesus washing the feet of the apostles. This gesture manifests a whole series of virtues that were called to practice. The first would be that of humility. Jesus said, "I am meek and humble of heart." Matthew chapter 11 is the only time that Jesus really describes what his heart is like. He says, "I am meek and humble of heart." So the humility of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an invitation for all of us to grow in humility. How will this come about? Well, often it comes about through humiliations. That's right. It will come about through humiliations. God allows humiliations in our lives. God allows humiliations in our lives. He allows humiliations in our lives. So when God allows a humiliation to visit us, we should pray for great humility, that we would accept the humiliation. Okay, what else does it mean? It also is an attitude of great service. We should not seek ourselves to be served, but to serve others. Jesus will go on to say that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. That's right. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. To serve is to reign, and to reign is to serve. So you might step back and ask ourselves, how can we be of service to others? Remember the beautiful example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. After she says, "Behold, I am the handmaid or the servant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." Mary, in haste, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, walking about 55 miles, so that she can be of service to her elderly cousin who's expecting child. So we want to imitate Christ in accepting or even pursuing opportunities to be of service to others. Then another interpretation of the washing of feet would be purification. Jesus washed the dirt off the feet of the apostles. We're all called to be purified, but by the blood of the Lamb of Christ. And that's applied through the sacrament of confession. That's right. So my friends, there we have the first element of our contemplation of the Last Supper. Next is Jesus there at the Last Supper. Gives what is called the Last Supper Discourse. I invite you to read the Last Supper Discourse. Be good to do it today. The Last Supper Discourse, my friends, you can find in the Gospel of St. John, starting with John chapter 13. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Those five chapters are the Last Supper Discourse of Christ. And chapter 18 and 19 would be his passion and death. Chapter 20 and 21 would be his resurrection and his conversation with Peter. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." So there at the Last Supper, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And then we can see it portrayed here. There, in the context of the Last Supper, Jesus will institute two sacraments. That's right. Two of the sacraments will be instituted on Holy Thursday. Those sacraments that we'll be explaining would be the sacrament of holy orders and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. So this very solemn and sublime moment arrives on Holy Thursday. They've nourished themselves on the Paschal Lamb. They've had to eat unleavened bread. They've used bitter herbs. They've had the wine. All this is the context of the Passover supper that Jewish people would celebrate every year. And the Father would transmit this by recounting it, oral tradition, from one generation to the next. It says that Jesus longed to have this meal with his beloved disciples. He was longing for this meal, before his departure, before his suffering. He says, I've longed to have this, share this meal with you. So, here we have the artistic depiction. Jesus takes bread in his hands, as you can see in this picture. He takes bread in his hands. And then he's going to break that bread. And he'll say, take and eat. Take and eat, this is my body. Then, as you're able to see in this picture, front of Jesus, there's a chalice. In the chalice, filled with wine, he says, take and drink, this is my blood. In that moment, my friends, in that moment, my friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was instituting for us, he was instituting for us the most sublime sacrament of himself, the most sublime sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. We call this the meal of the Lord. We also call this the Eucharist. We call this also the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And Jesus will go on to say before he ascends in heaven, and I will be with you always. I will be with you always, even until the end of time. Then Jesus, before the eyes of his apostles, he ascends, passes through the clouds, and sits at the right hand of his heavenly Father. But he does not abandon us as orphans. He says, I will be with you always, even until the end of time. How? He's present to us in the most holy Eucharist. For that reason, my friends, this is a day in which we want to renew our faith in this great sacrament, that we really believe. We want to fortify our faith that we really believe 2,000 years later. This evening, when you're going to have a Mass concelebrated with priests, this very evening, we celebrate the Mass of the Last Supper, the washing of the feet, the meal of the Lord, once again after 2,000 years, we'll be renewing our faith, our devotion, our love, toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, truly present in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, of great importance, after Jesus institutes the sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity at the Last Supper, which was the first Mass, by the way, Jesus pronounces these words. He says, do this. He says, do this in memory of me. That's right. He says, do this. Do this in memory of me. By those words, we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, do this in memory of me. Those are the words that the Church takes that are related to the institution of another sacrament, and that sacrament is holy orders. Or if you like, is the sacrament of the priesthood. Holy orders of the priesthood. So as you look at this picture again, you see Jesus is in the center. He's surrounded by these 12 men, 12 apostles. So immediately after instituting the Holy Eucharist, he says, do this in memory of me. What was he doing? What was he doing? Jesus was turning, he was transforming, rather, these men, many were fishermen, into the first priest in the Catholic Church. Not only were they the first priest, but also they were the first bishops. The bishop has the fullness of the priesthood. That's right, not only the first priest, but also the first bishops. Priests, bishops. So this is a very sublime night. This is a very sublime day. And I'm sure you see the connection between the institution of the Eucharist and the institution of holy orders. Because in God's divine providential plan, he's designed it as such that there is no Eucharist if you do not have the sacrament of holy orders. This being said, all of us today in our Perseverance family, we should pray to God for the priesthood. Pray for vocations. Pray for a future priest, because my friends, the harvest is very, very rich. The harvest is very, very rich, but the laborers are few. How true. The harvest is very rich. There are many souls to be saved, but laborers are too few. Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in his vineyard. Then you want to pray in a special way for your priests. Pray for me, pray for priests. Pray for the perseverance of priests. Pray for the sanctification of priests. Pray for the conversion of priests. Pray for the health of priests. Pray for priests. In the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI, he set aside a year dedicated to the priesthood. That's right, a year dedicated to the priesthood. And he took as a model for the priesthood the Curie of Ars, St. John Maria Vianney. That priest who spent most of his life there in the confessional, reconciling souls to God through the sacrament of confession. And the Curie of Ars, my friends, went on in one occasion to preach as such. In all the important spiritual moments of your life, who is present? It's usually the priest. When you and your child were baptized, who is present? The priest. When you and your child made his or her first confession, who is present? The priest. When you and your child made your first communion, who is present? The priest. When you attend Mass on Sundays or other days, hopefully today, who is present? The priest. When you made your confirmation, or your son or daughter made the confirmation, we had it last Saturday, who is present there? The priest and the person of the bishop. Because the bishop is a priest also. He has the fullness of the priesthood. Who was there when you got married? Well, it could have been a deacon, but most likely it was a priest. Because you probably prefer when you get married, not only to be married, but to have it done in the context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the priest. When your grandmother or your mother or dad got really sick, who did you call? The priest. When your grandmother or your mother actually passed away, who was present? The priest. In the funeral mass of your loved ones, who presided over the funeral mass? It was the priest. And who was the one that went to the cemetery to bury your mother, your father, your grandmother? And who will bury you? The priest. Therefore, my friends, in all these key moments of our human existence, our journey toward our eternal homeland, which is heaven. Who is present in these key moments? It is the priest. So on this Holy Thursday, we renew our belief and our love in the Eucharist. As well as the priesthood, but also we want to support priests by praying for them, encouraging them, offering our services to them in whatever capacity it might be. And related to the priesthood as well as the Eucharist, I invite all of you, and Perseverance family, you all know someone in your family, either a relative, a friend, an uncle, an aunt, an older son or daughter. You all know someone that is no longer practicing his or her faith. Invite them to come back. Invite them to Mass this evening. Invite them to confession in these next 3 days. Invite them to the Easter Vigil Mass, which is Saturday evening. Invite them back. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. My friends, the biggest religious group, the biggest religious group in the United States, in the Philippines, in Mexico, in South America, and Europe too, the biggest religious group, my friends, are non-practicing Catholics. Invite them to come back. This is the time. Invite them to come back. For sitting down to the Easter meal, invite them to come back to participate in one of these celebrations. Invite them to come back. And to encourage you, St. James says in chapter 5, whoever of us brings back a wandering soul to Christ, to the truth, saves his own soul and expiates a multitude of sins. Your salvation and your getting to heaven quickly will depend also upon your bringing back a wandering soul, a wandering sheep. Bring them back. How interesting it is, my friends, that most Mormons and most Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to be Catholics. Bring them back. Bring them back. Remember, Jesus speaks about the 100 sheep. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one wandering sheep, finds the sheep, places the sheep on his shoulder, and then brings the sheep back to the flock. Go after that lost sheep. Go after the lost sheep. Now there, also, in the same context of the Last Supper, which was the first Mass, once again, we have this beautiful artistic portrait of the Last Supper. Jesus, in this sublime discourse, and invite you once again, reading John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, those five chapters. Among the many things that Jesus says is the following. He says, I call you friends. I call you friends. Not simply servants, I call you friends, because you know what the Master is about. When I arrived in Argentina as a newly ordained priest back in the middle 80s, 86, I was fluent in Italian, but I didn't know Spanish. And I saw a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the Sacred Heart of Jesus, there was the heart outside his body. And fire was emanating from his heart. And then below I saw the words in Spanish. I was learning Spanish little by little. These words related to our topic. Jesús, el amigo que nunca falla. Translated, Jesús, el amigo que nunca falla means Jesus is the friend that will never fail us. That's right. Jesus is the friend that will never fail us. So my friends, in Perseverance Family, we are forming a family of friendship also. Not only did Jesus say to his apostles, I call you friends. Not only do I call to mind that picture, il amigo che nunca falla. But also Jesus, he wants to be your best friend. He wants to be your best friend. Then, in the context of the Last Supper, Jesus, before going to the cross, he gives the apostles to us and to all of humanity his last and his greatest commandment. The last and the greatest commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before he goes to suffer his passion and death for love of you and for love of me. Which was, Jesus said in these words, love one another as I have loved you. That's right. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has a man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus showed his infinite love for you and for me by instituting the Eucharist, which is also known as the sacrament of his love. Then, giving us the means by which the sacrament can be perpetuated until the end of the world. That is done by means of the priesthood. And then Jesus shows us, he shows us the very depths of his love by what he undergoes the following day, which is Good Friday, tomorrow. By shedding every drop of his precious blood on the cross for love of you and for love of me. That's right. No greater love has a man that he laid down his life for his friends. And it's true in the Diary of St. Faustina. She points out that love is manifested by a willingness to die for the loved one. So my friends, and Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, and the angels and saints, Holy Thursday today, Holy Thursday is the day in which we focus upon this sublime event that changed the world. There at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and he took wine. He said, "Take and eat, all of you. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood." And he said, "Do this in memory of me." So my friends, let us express our eternal gratitude and love toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for having given us the gift of the Most Holy Eucharist, which is his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And by allowing this to become a reality until the end of time, perpetuating it through the sacrament of holy orders. Love the Eucharist, love the priesthood, love the Sacred Heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'll see you tomorrow, same time and same channel. And at 9 o'clock, I'll be giving my presentation in Spanish. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.